I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, and since it's Thanksgiving, we're going to revisit one of my favorite food stories from this year. So join me as we head on down to the Low Country region of South Carolina and Georgia to talk about Gullah Geechee home cooking. It's one of the first major cookbooks of traditional food from that region. We first sat down with the authors back in April.
My name is Kayla Stewart. I am the co-author of the Gullah Geechee Home Cooking Cookbook. I am also a food and travel reporter.
Emily H. Maggett, and I'm the matriarch of Edisto Island for the Gullah Geechee Cookbook.
Miss Emily is a bit of an ambassador of the Gullah Geechee people and culture.
When someone says Gullah are Geechee people, they were talking about the African American who live in the Low Country region of South Carolina, Georgia, and Florida. The Gullah Geechee people are descendants of Africans who were enslaved on the rice, indigo, and Sea Island cotton plantation. Many people came from the rice-growing region of West Africa. On Edisto Island, where I was born and raised, they often referred to us as Gullah Geechee because of the broken language we spoke and because we ate a lot of rice and grits. Every day we had rice for dinner and grits for breakfast.
And in the cookbook, you'll find fresh seafood recipes that pay homage to the sea islands of the Atlantic coast. Recipes like deviled crab and Miss Emily's famous stuffed fish with parsley, rice, and roe. And there are recipes that might remind you of other Southern cooking you may have tried, like red rice, corn fritters, okra gumbo, and don't even get me started on all the glorious pineapple upside down cake, ooh, and all the pies. And alongside the food, this cookbook tells the story of the Gullah Geechee through the history of Edisto Island and Miss Emily's family. The recipes she shares in it have been passed down through generations.
The connection between the culture of food is that we have a strong belief in God in our community, respect for our elder, and respect for nature, meaning we ate a lot of shrimp, crab, fish, and oyster from the ocean that we used to make a lot of our favorite and flavorful dishes. These seafood was also served with rice, okra, grits, watermelon, and a lot of other items.
Miss Emily, when you're cooking with these ingredients, are you growing those watermelon in your backyard? Are the members of the family who are fishing that seafood for you?
When I grew up, my grandmother and my uncle, they had their own little garden that they plant the watermelon, the okra, the butter beans, and they also had a rice pond that they grew their own rice. So we had, obviously, lots of things that pertain to what people would grow on Edisto. And the seafood, we didn't have any problem getting the seafood because we were surrounded by the ocean and also the little creek. So we could go out and get fish, crab, shrimp in the field, okra, butter beans, corn, watermelon. So we were fortunate that we could have grew all this on Edisto Island.
Miss Emily, why take these family recipes and collect them in a cookbook?
Well, you know, I think it is important for someone to know what the people back then had in the brain to even share with the world. Because a lot of times, if you have something that is worthwhile sharing and you don't share it, it is worthless. But if you can share it with the world and the world could see what and where you came from, probably they would appreciate it more. Because now they're all like fast food out there. Not a whole lot of people is cooking anymore, but everybody's going out to eat at the restaurant. But I think the best thing could ever happen is if you have your own home cooked food and you know how it's being cooked, I think it'd be better for the world to know that.
Kayla, I want to bring you in here because you helped to co-write this cookbook. And I want to be clear to folks, once you hold this book in your hand, you'll understand that, yes, it is a book of recipes, but it's also a book with maps and photographs and family history. Kayla, can you tell me a little bit about putting together this, truly this archive, which includes recipes?
Absolutely. So I should first mention that, you know, being a part of a project like this is so both unique and an honor. Of course, this is Miss Emily's family, and to be entrusted with helping to communicate that kind of story is truly such an honor and such an exciting, such an exciting piece of work to take on. It took a lot of time. That was the kind of key component here. And time meaning time going down south to visit Miss Emily near Charleston on Edisto Island from my current base in New York, spending time with her to learn her cooking style, to learn some of the history of her family and, you know, why she does things a certain way or why she uses the wooden stove and why, you know, she decides to use a certain produce in a certain dish. And so, you know, a lot of this is really getting to know Miss Emily both on a personal and professional level in a very short span of time, frankly. But to be honest, it feels like I've known Miss Emily my whole life at this point. We spent time on Edisto Island at the museums. I got to know her children, more about her family members, and more about her family even outside of her biological family. You know, that's the thing about Miss Emily. She is the matriarch of this island. And so while I was on Edisto testing recipes with her, interviewing her about her history, learning more about the Gullah Geechee community, I was also introduced to a fair amount of Edisto residents, people who have been on this island and whose lives have been touched by Miss Emily, whether it's her bringing them a plate of her food or her sharing an encouraging message or doing a mix of both. You know, that's oftentimes what you get with Miss Emily. And so recognizing the magnitude of her role both on this island as well as in the culinary space as a Black woman in this world, you know, was really important, and really time was what was behind all of that.
More on the Gullah Geechee Home Cooking Cookbook in just a moment.
WNYC Studios is supported by Rocket Money. Did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/WNYC. That's rocketmoney.com/WNYC.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry. We're back with more of my conversation with Emily Meggett, known as the matriarch of Edisto Island and co-author of the cookbook, Gullah Geechee Home Cooking, and Kayla Stewart. She's co-writer for the cookbook and a food and travel reporter. In this beautiful book, there's a quote. People on Edisto know if that side door is open, then there's food in the kitchen. And at this house, there are no guests, just friends and family. Miss Emily shared more with me on how food and community are connected in her life.
I go to bed at night and then I sleep. And when I wake up, sometimes it'd be 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would think of somebody that needed a hot meal. I will get up and I go to the freezer and I'll take out whatever fish, shrimp or whatever, put it in the sink and let it thaw out. And when I get up in the morning, then I would put my pot on the stove and see, I'm going to do a good deed for somebody today. Then I put my pot on the stove and I start cooking. And then I sat down to the table and I just think about who I'm going to feed today. Then everybody's that has cancer and I knew of it, I fix them food. Anybody that I know that are blind, I fix food for them. Anybody that has a stroke, I fix food. The one that has the Alzheimer's, I fix food for them. Sometime I put it in the carryout plate and get in the car and deliver it to them. And everyone that I goes to, they will say to me, Emily, how you know I was sitting here just thinking, what am I going to have for my dinner? And here you show up. And I said, it has to be the Lord's doing, not mine. But I go from Edisto Beach, cross the bridge. I go to the post office. I go to the bank. And I go to all those other people. Sometime I just cook in the big pot. And I would put the pot in the car and the spoon. And I would go from one door to the next door. And all I ask them to bring me their plate. They bring me their plate. I fix their plate and they go in and sit down and have a hot meal. And I say to myself, I say, you know, this is the Lord's doing, because there are so many people out there sometimes don't even have a hot meal. And they have to wait for somebody to bring it to them, or they just don't have a hot meal. And hear me, at the age of 89, I just feel to myself like, you know, this is what my mission from the Lord is. And I love it. I do it every day if I can. And those kids will say to me, Mommy, you need to rest. But this is Mommy's mission. So Mommy is going to go out there and take care of her mission. And I say to myself, I said, Lord, will bless me and will bless all others that looked out for people in the world. I thank God for the mind. I thank Him for the strength. And I just thank Him for giving me that knowledge and wisdom and understand that is not only me, is what you do for someone else in the world that counts.
Kayla, can we talk about the broiled clam? Because, these recipes are unbelievable.
Melissa, I'm always happy to talk about broiled clam among the many other things in this book. Something that I have been cognizant of and continue to think about both for this book and my work is just the beauty of Black food, and the fact that Miss Emily's book really pays homage to Black food, but also the diversity of Black food, right? And so I'm born and raised in Texas, have roots in Louisiana. Miss Emily's food looks very different than the food that I grew up on. And to me, that made it all the more special. You know, I'd heard of some of the dishes, some of them I'd tried before, but really getting to learn about this region that is very different than my own, to learn about the realities of what Black food is and the possibilities of what it can be by way of this matriarch, by way of this Emily. I mean, it's really phenomenal to see, and you see it in each recipe. You see, you know, that this is very true to a particular region, to a particular group of people, to a particular type of Blackness, and it's beautiful and it's illuminated in each and every recipe.
Kayla Stewart is co-writer on the cookbook Gullah Geechee Home Cooking, and the lead author is Emily Meggett. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for having us, Melissa.